It's good to see you guys this morning. Glad that you're here. Welcome. We are beginning a new series this morning. You may have noticed that from the backdrop and this incredible stage piece we have here. You're probably thinking to yourself, what are we going to do with this? That's a great question. It is obviously a speedway, and you will get to participate. This is a five-week series. You get to look at it this week. We'll tell you all about what you're going to do with it next week. If you're a kid in the house this morning, you may have already been doing the license plate trivia hunt in the hallway. And if you haven't done that yet, the forms are back at the back of the kids' zone. Grab one of those. Fill it out. When you get it right, Scott and Kelly have a door prize for you. And so the kids are getting prizes this morning as they're kind of playing along with us as we begin a new series called Driving You Crazy. Driving you crazy. You got any crazies in the house? Yeah, we got a room full. So we're gonna take a look at that and talk about that over these next couple of minutes. Take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4 is where we're going to go. It might take you a minute or two to find it, and that's cool. That's all right. Not a problem. I missed being with you last week. Glenn Rogers did a great job. And as I always tell you, when people that fill in for you do a great job, it inspires you to get back quicker. And so he did a great job, inspired me to get back quicker. Oh, look at that. What? You got it? You're good? Yeah. And last week I was out peddling. Richard's got a copy of it. That's a preview anyway. It is the newest book, Saving the Magic Kingdom. And so I got a text from Deep River after the 9 o'clock service saying thank you for the freedom of being able to go and peddle my books. Caden thanks you. We're going to put him into college with him one day. He's like, no, forget that. I'm not going. Yeah, but we're going to begin a series that becomes, for us, I hope, an interesting journey. Now, here's my disclaimer, okay? And the disclaimer really is important. We are going to have some fun in the series, and hopefully you'll enjoy it, and then I'll learn a few things along the way. But on a very serious note, my disclaimer is simply this. This series is not intended to make fun of mental illness, okay? Legitimately, there are some things that people struggle with. And mental illness is certainly a very serious problem here in the U.S., worldwide, and that's not what this series is about. This series is about the spiritual side of us, making sure that we don't do crazy things that we can avoid doing. Specifically this morning, we're going to look at the cause of crazy. We're going to look at the stuff that makes you crazy. If you want to go crazy, this is how you do it. Okay, we're going to talk about that this morning. To make sure that you're not. But I say all that to simply say, so don't walk out the door and say, Jeff's making light of being crazy. We're going to have fun with it, yes. But if you got, you know, if you got something you're dealing with, you know, my loving advice to you, stay on your meds. The people around you will appreciate it. I'll appreciate it. Yeah. Be medicated. Go with God. I mean, that's what you need to do. I mean, so we want to do that. I want to get that out of the way before I start using and throwing the word crazy around in the most disrespectful way possible. All right, now, that being said, this morning we're going to talk about the ride of pride. The ride of pride. And Daniel 4 is where we're going to go for that. There's a woman that went to work one day and said to a coworker, I can make the boss give me the day off. And her coworker replied, and just how are you going to do that? She said, just wait and watch. And she went over, grabbed a ladder, crawled across a beam on the ceiling, hung upside down. Boss walked in, looked up, saw her hanging there, said, what are you doing? And the woman replied, I'm a light bulb. He said, obviously you have been working too hard. The stress of the job is making you crazy. Why don't you go home and take a few days off? And she leaves. And her coworker begins to follow her out the door, and the boss says, wait, where are you going? He goes, I'm not going to stay here and work in the dark. Now, see, there is something about craziness that it's infectious, and we kind of get crazy together. I've been traveling in the South, and somebody said this way, this is the South, and we're proud of our crazy people here. We don't hide them in the attic. We bring them right down to the living room to show them off. No one in the South ever asks if you have crazy people in your family. They just ask which side you're on. We pick sides. I mean, we live in a world that is upside down. But crazy doesn't just happen in our lives. Crazy doesn't just happen by accident. So I want to give you a foundational principle that will carry you through this entire series. And if you can remember this, and if you can hold on to this, and you can internalize this, and I promise you, your life will be much more sane and solid. And our goal in this series is to get you on the speedway of sanity, okay? We're aiming for the speedway of sanity in a world where people are driving you crazy. And here's the principle. You are not God. I went to seminary to learn that. Impressed? You are not God. And if you will remember that, I promise you, your level of life satisfaction will climb exponentially. You will be much better off for remembering that. You'll be much better off in the journey if you can simply remember that truth that you are not God. Today, we're going to look at an Old Testament character in the book of Daniel. A guy who goes full tilt, completely wacky, off kilter, crazy. And his name, I'll give it to you in a minute. Do you ever spend time kind of looking around at the world around us and you see something, you just go, that's crazy? You ever watch people do things and you just look at them and go, why are they doing that? That's crazy. You ever listen to the news sometimes and hear what they're saying on TV and go, that's nuts. I mean, you ever have that moment where you're just kind of taken back by, how could they do what they're doing? That is crazy. I promise you, today, I'm going to tell you exactly why they're doing it. I mean, you are going to be so much better off for having been here, because you're going to know now the cause of crazy, and you're going to be able forever to take that outside these walls and be able to navigate the world better because you know the cause of crazy. That's what's going to happen today. That's your takeaway this morning. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be awesome. And I know that you're going to get it because you're so much sharper than the 9 o'clock crowd, and you do so much better at just kind of processing things. And so I'm glad that you made it in. But it doesn't take a lot to just look around and just come to the conclusion, yeah, everything's crazy right now. And if you're like I am, I'm always looking for where can I get some fast, speedy relief from the craziness around me. Because we're all looking for that safe space, that space where we're not going to be crazy, where it's not going to be upside down. And so let me talk about crazy for a minute. There's a good crazy, and there really is. There's a good crazy. And this is what I mean by that. When you make a decision to become a follower of Jesus Christ, you decide that you're going to believe, trust, and follow him. And I hope all of you have done that. If not, you'll have an opportunity later to do so. But when you make a decision to do that, you're going to make a decision. And in that decision, you say, I'm not going to live my way. I'm going to live God's way. I'm going to make decisions in my life that are based on what God tells me to do, not what the world tells me to do. Now, to an outsider who doesn't know God, that's crazy. See, when you start making decisions based on faith and you start living your life by faith, you live in a way that's countercultural. And the culture's going to look back and you go, that's crazy. That's a good kind of crazy. It's a good kind of crazy. Let me give you another principle. People can't drive you crazy unless you give them the keys. People can't drive you crazy unless you give them the keys. And so the question we're going to deal with is making sure you haven't given anybody the keys. Making sure that you hold on to the keys so you don't go down the road that you can't come back from. And making sure that you're doing the things that you need to do to stay healthy. So there's a good crazy. We're going to talk about that in the weeks ahead. But today we're not talking about the good kind of crazy. Today we're talking about the crazy. Some of you know people that you consider in your life to be crazy, crazy. Not just a little crazy. Oh, they're big type crazy. They're just off the chart crazy. And you deal with them, you navigate them, but they are people whose elevator doesn't go to the roof. They don't have all the line on their fishing reel. They're nuttier than a five-pound fruitcake. I mean, it is that crazy upside-down way of living that started when Adam and Eve took the first bite of the apple in the garden. Sin enters the world. Everybody goes crazy. But the question is, how do you know if you're dealing with a crazy person? Well, I'm glad you asked. I can help you with that. The reason is because I'm in ministry. Been at it a long time. And the longer I'm at it, the one thing I am sure of, the more craziness I see. Something about ministry and craziness just kind of goes hand in hand. And so I want to tell you some helpful hints to help you know when you're talking to a crazy. The entrance ramp is simply this. There are a lot of crazies on the road. Let me describe some of them for you. First type of person. They're that kind of person that's got those crazy eyes. You ever see somebody and their eyes are just never really focused on the right thing? I mean, they roll the backwards like this, and they never really focus on you. They got the crazy eyes. See, Proverbs says that the eyes are windows to the soul. I've looked in some people's eyes, and I know they're crazy. Because I can see into their soul. I mean, they just got that weird-looking thing. Number two, a crazy person is a name dropper. You ever meet somebody that all they do is they drop names about all the people they know? You know, preachers that talk about meeting William Shatner. Mel Gibson. You know, that's crazy, right? I mean, you know, you can do that. But preachers that tell those kind of stories, you know, that's kind of crazy. They're name droppers. They want you to know that they're important because they know important people. They've met important people. They've seen important people because they're important too, and that makes them a little bit crazy. Crazy people are one-upmen. They say this kind of thing. Hey, I just got back from my vacation in the Virgin Islands. And the person said, well, that's nothing. I just got back from my vacation, but I went around the world on a yacht. That person said, well, but Mr. Yacht wasn't like my yacht because my yacht was owned by Bill Gates and he was on there with me. It is a constant battle to one-up that person with the next thing. And so if you have to deal with somebody that's always trying to one-up things, recognize what you're dealing with. They're just trying to one-up you. They're crazy. And they're everywhere. Next kind of person. Person's going to dial you up. What I mean by that is they blow up your phone. You ever have somebody in your world that gets your number and all they do is just keep calling you? They just call you all the time. They leave you 1,000 messages a day. They get mad at you if you don't text them back within like 30 seconds of them sending a text. They allot no time for T-Mobile and Sprint and Spectrum to talk to each other to allow those signals to bounce off the rooftop and go somewhere else and then land in your phone. And heaven forbid you're doing something else at the time. If they haven't heard from you in 30 seconds, they're texting you again. Where are you ignoring my text? Did I do something to make you mad? You not my friend anymore? I'm like, I've had 15 phone numbers this year. No, I haven't. But you want to change it because crazy people will blow up your phone. Because you just don't respond quick enough. Number six. Five, whatever it is. Not five? Five? I think. That's crazy. I sit down with this one. There's a certain type of crazy person that asks you for advice and they never take it. Now, what I mean by that is, I'm going to be honest as I can here because I'm preaching and we're recording this for prosperity and, you know, long after I'm gone, someone on the internet's going to find this. But my opinion doesn't count for anything, right? My opinion's not worth much. But because I'm in ministry, like I told you, ministry. You put the right emphasis on it, it sounds really more important. So I'm in ministry. And because I'm in ministry, when people ask me my advice, I do my best to give them biblical advice. In other words, I go to the Word of God, and I say, well, God's Word says this. This is what God's Word says about the situation you're in. And then you know what happens? And I mean, I have laughed, and I've cried, and I've played, and I've prayed with these people. And at the end of the day, they go out and do the exact opposite of what the Bible says. And you think, man, I invested hours of my life in you, and you went out and did the same dumb thing you were going to do before you came and talked to me. That's crazy. People do it all the time. So when someone asks you for advice, you just say, do you really want it? And, you know, hopefully they'll be honest and say, no, I really don't. Okay, that's great. Good. Now where we stand? Perfect. Crazy people are always talking about themselves. I, me, the whole world revolves around that conversation. They're always injecting themselves. You know what I'm talking about. If you've got a bad case of the I, me, my's, well, you got to cut that out. You got to watch out. Crazy people also don't have a filter. and they pride themselves in it. In other words, they say stuff like this. Well, you know, I just say what's on my mind. Maybe you shouldn't. But they couch it with, well, that's just the way I am. I'm just going to say what's on my mind. No, don't. Because better to be thought of as smart and silent than loud and crazy, right? I mean, see, a lot of people I look at and I say, oh, that must be a nice person. They must be incredibly sane. Until they open their mouth, you go, oh, my gosh, you're crazy. I never would have known until they let the crazy out. You open your mouth, you let the crazy out. Don't do it. The crazy people, they have no filter. They don't know. They don't know the norms. They don't know the rules. They don't know the rules of engagement. And they think, well, if I just say what's on my mind, everyone's going to think it's okay. No, it's not okay. Because if you're crazy, nobody wants to know. And so you always got to be careful to navigate that. And if you find yourself saying, well, I'm just going to say what's on my mind, double check that. Check what's on your mind. Make sure it has something to do with God. Crazy people usually have one issue. It's their issue. It's the issue they lock on. They're like a one issue, one ticket. This is what I do. This is what I do. This is what I know. This is what I know. It's the most important thing to me. Most important thing to me. It's the most important thing to me. As a preacher, I run into that all the time. Well, Jeff, now I liked your last series, but you didn't mention abortion one time. Well, it's because it's not a series on abortion. It's a series on being crazy. But you didn't mention abortion. You didn't mention evangelism. Didn't mention the end times. You didn't mention how do I deal with my strained relationship. Didn't mention how do I deal with that person that I work with that's robbing me of my joy. You didn't mention how wonderful I am, and that's your issue. But you want to hear about it all the time. And if you don't hear about it, you're offended because Brother Jeff didn't talk about that. He should have been able to work that in if he was a good enough preacher. Guess he's not. Go back to what I previously said. Keep your mouth shut. Don't let the crazy out. Because, see, in our world, we deal with folks all the time. And so when you meet somebody, it doesn't take long to figure out what their issue is. One issue, one cause, one word. That's how it works. Other people are like space invaders. Do I need to explain that? Okay, Jeff, stand up again. You know these people. You have these people in your world. You know these people there in your orbit. They're the people that when you're having a conversation with them, they want to do this. Hey, Jeff, how you doing, man? You doing good? Haven't seen you for a while. Missed you last week. Haven't seen you last week. We've got some things we need to talk about, and I just want to talk to you about them. And I don't want to. And then, you know what's worse? People that invade your space like that, they get those crazy eyes. Those are space invaders. And see, space invaders is that, thank you, Jeff. Space invaders is that game from the 70s that, you know, they just keep getting closer and closer and closer and closer. It doesn't matter how much space you give them, they just keep getting closer. See, the pandemic drove crazy people who are space invaders absolutely bonkers. Because you were trying to get 6 feet, and they kept coming closer, so you kept moving back. I mean, how many times in the pandemic does someone get too close to you and think, oh my gosh, they're going to give me the corona? They're going to breathe on me? Them little droplets are going to fly? I'm going to suck them in? I'm going to get the rona. I mean, we had that fear that was always happening around us. And those space invaders, they didn't know any better. So not only were they crazy, but they were pandemic crazy because they were space invaders. And they're out there. Last one. We have to stop. This is just the entrance ramp. Crazy people take pride in their dysfunction. They're defined by what's wrong with them. Their sickness is what drives them. And you know why? I mean, this is in this series. Because they've already figured out that the pain of their sickness is greater than their pain of recovery. It would hurt them too much to change. So it's easier just to stay, be defined by the dysfunction that they struggle with. There are a lot of crazy people out there on the roadway. You and I bump into them all the time. They're everywhere we go. And they will drive you crazy. And so the difference between a good crazy and a crazy crazy is where you are with God. See, you're a good crazy when you simply say this. You know, God, you're sovereign, and I'm not. You're God, I'm not. Crazy crazy begins in the moment when you simply say, I'm going to be God. God, you're going to be less. And that's what happens to most people when they go crazy. See, when you take a look at the culture and you try to understand the culture around us, the first question you have to ask is there somebody who knows God? And if they really know God and God is God, then they won't be crazy. But don't be surprised when the culture around you acts all crazy and wonky and wacky because they don't know God. That explains why pagans act like pagans. That explains why people do the crazy things they do. Without that God filter, without that God orientation, they are crazy. And it explains the world that we live in and helps you understand it. You can't expect people who don't know God to do godly things. It just doesn't work that way. And if you want it to, that's great. But if you expect it to and get upset because it doesn't, then that's on you. That's you being crazy. So here's the deal. If you want to go crazy, here's how. Start worshiping yourself. You become the center of your universe. Say you're self-sufficient. That's dumb. But people think that they're self-sufficient. Self is not sufficient. Because, see, if self were really sufficient, we wouldn't worry about being someone that people liked or getting the approval of others. But we all want that. Let me draw this for you. Because, see, we're not made to be worshipped. I want to show this to you real quick. It's just something that will help you process this. This is you, okay? This is how you have to gauge the world. You know what that is? It's not a speedometer. It's a craziometer. Okay? It's a craziometer. This is you. You're at the hub of it. But all of you are somewhere on the craziometer. Now, if you're a follower of God, there's going to be moments that you get a little wacky and weird because, well, you're just going to get wacky and weird. It is our nature. We're broken. We're fallen. We're going to get wacky and weird. Many of you spend a great deal of your time being wacky and weird, but you're not so wacky and weird that people don't like you. And you're not so wacky and weird that people think, well, they're wacky and weird. I mean, you hide your weirdness in such a way that it looks civilized. And so if that's the case, you're probably over here in this 1, 2, or 3 range. And my most God followers are over here somewhere on the craziometer. But see, people will start worshiping themselves. They start calling them here to 4, 5, 6, 7. And it gets worse. And it keeps getting worse. And so what you have to decide is when you deal with other people, is where are they on the craziometer? And then more importantly, where are you on the craziometer? Because that has a lot to do with the way that you're going to live your life. Where you're going to flesh out your existence. And we got to make sure we get it right. And see, when you read the Bible, crazy's not new, right? Adam and Eve, they went a little crazy and they took a bite of the apple. That was dumb. Remember Esau and Jacob? Esau ate the crazy stew. You know, remember Cain and Abel? Cain killed his brother because he was Abel. And may God bless you and your family. And go with me. Remember Jonah? Jonah went crazy. He jumped on the crazy train away from Nineveh. Absalom, David's son, he went crazy. Solomon went crazy after the foreign women. It was a downfall. Why is this guy in the world? Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, they went crazy. They wanted to be so much on the inside of the early church, they sold a piece of property and lied about how much they got. And they both died. We talked about that not too terribly long ago. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But today, the character we're looking at is somebody that goes full tilt crazy. He is a king. His name is King Nebuchadnezzar. We'll call him Nebo. Nebuchadnezzar is found in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. We're going to look at the verses in a minute. I'm going to unpack them. Don't panic. The main points are much shorter than the ramp up. But let me give you a Cliff Notes version of what's going on with Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar has a serious problem. His problem is he's on the ride of pride. He is on the ride of pride. That is the linchpin, by the way, of crazy, whether or not you're on the ride of pride. Because when we kick God off the throne, we make God go into second place. And you show me someone who's prideful, and I'll show you someone who's insane. No doubt about it. Nebuchadnezzar, let me give you the backstory of this thing. He builds himself this big honking statue instead of himself. And you know the story, right? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they're there, they're slaves. Daniel's there, he's been taken captive. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are involved in this thing. He builds this statue and he says, you know what, when the music plays, you hit your knees and you worship me. And if you don't, I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace. Well, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they can't do that. So that's why we call them the asbestos boys. These faithful firemen would not get in the fire furnace. They would not die. They went right in the furnace. And you know what? They stood in there. And there was somebody else in there with them. And it kind of looked like the Son of Man. And they came back out. And Nebuchadnezzar was like, oh, my gosh, that was so amazing. You guys, Everyone worshiped the great, kind, benevolent God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'll rip your arms off. And obviously, he had missed the point. Well, then later on, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. And this dream is a crazy dream. It bothers him. He dreams that he is, it's a dream about a big old tree. And the big old tree is cut down and chopped down to a stump. But everything that was connected to this tree was growing and it was great and the tree seemed to give life to everybody. And then the tree gets cut away and he can't figure out what it means. And so he calls the wise people in the kingdom close to him and he explains the dream to them and they don't know what he's talking about. And finally, eventually, Daniel, who has been taken into this, he's got the ear of the king, he is a trusted servant, and so he says, Daniel, I've had this dream, man, it's bothered me, and he tells Daniel the dream. And the dream is so tough, it bothers Daniel. And one of the reasons it bothers Daniel is because Daniel isn't going to be able to tell him what it means. God gives him the meaning of the dream, and yet what happens is, if you take a real close look at the passage, I think it gives us the roadmap to craziness. In other words, it gives us the cause of craziness, stuff that we have to avoid if we're not going to be crazy. That's what I'm talking about. First thing I want you to see here is when the dream is explained, we discover an idol. Go to verse 13 of chapter 4 of Daniel. It says this, in the visions I saw while lying in bed, I looked, and there before me was the Holy One, a messenger coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit, Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches, but let the stump and its roots bound with iron and bronze remain in the ground, the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal till seven times pass for him. Daniel hears a dream. And it upsets him, and he says, Nebuchadnezzar, I hate to break this to you, you are the tree, my brother. And what you just dreamed about is going to happen to you. Because of your pride, you're going to live in isolation. You're going to be driven out like an animal. See, because Nebuchadnezzar still was into one thing that he liked to worship. It was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's orbit was filled with Nebuchadnezzar. And so Daniel says, I wish it was going to happen to your enemies, but this is going to happen to you. Now, the tree gets chopped down to a stump. That's important. You might say, why is that detail in the Bible? Because it matters. The stump matters. Turn to your neighbor right now. And just say, neighbor, I'm stumped. Say, go ahead and do it. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. So hold that thought. Verse 19. Then Daniel was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So he said, and the king said, don't let the dream or its meaning alarm you. And Daniel said, my lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. Daniel is ramping him up, and you can see what's happening in the next couple of verses. But as bad as it is, drop down to verse 27. Therefore, Your Majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. And it may be then that your prosperity will continue. So see what's happening. Nebuchadnezzar's had a dream. Daniel says the dream is about you. But if you will change your ways, you're going to be blessed. You need to be kind to the oppressed. Your prosperity is going to continue. You got a chance to come clean. You got a chance to make this right. Nebuchadnezzar, you have a chance. Let's stop for just a minute. How many times has God given you a chance to get your act together? How many times in your life has God intervened in your life and said, you know what, I'm going to give you another chance? And you knew you screwed up, but God showed up and He gave you another chance. How like God that is. Because with God, it's not one, two, three strikes, you're out. God is a God who extends grace. He extends mercy, even to this king. You see, the problem we have, and it's a serious problem, is that a lot of us struggle with the same thing that Nebuchadnezzar does. We're on the ride of pride. We tend to worship ourselves. We tend to put ourselves at the center of the universe. We tend to think that we are the only thing that matters. We are the only thing that counts. And we basically say to God, God, I'm sovereign. And you're not. See, who sees everything just revolving around them? That's crazy. Who lives their life thinking that they're the center of the universe? That's nuts. Self is not sufficient. Self is not made to be worshipped. Self is not the way that you were created to live. And yet we all struggle with idol worship. Which is why I said, when you look at the craziometer over here, I mean, this is where, you know, we have those moments where, you know, we have to remind ourselves, okay, it's not about me, and we bring it back down. You know, something happens to us, and we think, okay, but God, You've got this. And we bring it back down. But it's a constant struggle, which is why I say there's a little bit of you on that craziometer, because we all get there from time to time, and we all battle with it. I mean, it's part of knowing God, but the more we get to know God, the more we discover that we are not going to be the center of the universe, and God is. And so we can push back that idol. Nebuchadnezzar had that problem, but Nebuchadnezzar had a chance, and I want you to know that God is always in the process of giving you a chance, because He wants you to be on the speedway of sanity. He wants you to get it right. He wants you to have the life that you were created to live. He always has. But the second thing I want you to see is also, though, left to yourself, and focusing too much on yourself leads you to isolation. Look at verse 30. Check out what Nebuchadnezzar did. This is how he responded. Is not this the great Babylon that I have built as a royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? That seems like an inappropriate response. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar has a chance to respond to God and get it right. And what does he respond to? Wait a minute. Is this not the great Babylon that I've built? What are you talking about? Am I not the one that did all this? Did I not build this with my mighty power? For my glory? What are you talking about, Daniel? See, Nebuchadnezzar screws it up. Let me give you a principle. When you renounce God, you renounce your humanity. I'll say that again. When you renounce God, you renounce your humanity. You say, that's harsh. Yeah, it is. Here's why. Because you were created by God to be living in His image, to be a follower of Christ. Your humanity, your goodness, your life itself, your life source itself is God. And when you renounce God, you basically are looking back at your Creator, the one who created you, and said, you know what? I didn't need you to create me. I don't need your help. I don't want what you're offering. As a matter of fact, I don't want anything to do with you. But it's God that makes you human. And so when we look back at our Creator, as the culture often does, and says, God, I don't want you anywhere in my life, what we're doing in that moment is we're choosing to live subhuman lives. You say, well, that's tough. Yeah, it is, isn't it? That's crazy. Because why would we ever choose to live a life less than the life that we were created to live? But yet it happens all the time. People do it all the time because when you renounce God, you renounce your humanity. When you say, God, you're not God, I am. You're basically saying, God, I am no longer made in your image. I made my own image. I did this. You didn't do it. I made what I made. I've made the mighty Babylon by my power for my enjoyment. Silly, silly Daniel. In essence, that's what you're saying. And so when you don't allow yourself the freedom to live life in God, you have pushed God away and you moved him away. See, the problem with Nebuchadnezzar at this point is all about I, me, my. Some of you deal with that. The world revolves around you. Everything that happens in your life, you filter it through your experience. Your first thought is, how's this going to impact me? Not how did it hurt someone else, not what happened out here, how's this going to impact me? Now, when that thought first hits, that's nothing wrong with that first thought. That's normal. See, that's what puts you on the crazyometer over here. But it's what you do with it that counts. Let me give you a practical illustration. Pandemic, we're going to shut the world down. Was your first thought of, what am I going to do? How am I going to eat? How am I going to survive? Or was your first thought, okay, God, what can I do to help someone else? What about my neighbor that may not be able to get out? How am I going to provide for these people here? How can I assist them over here? See, because obviously self-preservation becomes a part of it, but then some people went, don't get close to me. Don't be a space invader. Don't breathe on me. I mean, how many times did you see that banner somewhere on social media? If you love other people, you'll get a vaccination. Is that the standard for love now? See, I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. See, we know what this is like. But here's what happens. When you become an idol and the whole world begins to revolve around you, then you begin to isolate yourself. And you know what happens when you isolate yourself? You find yourself alone in a place that I like to avoid. It's a place called the crazy room. Now, I always tell people this. There's a place, it's called the crazy room. Crazy things happen in the crazy room. That's where crazy people live. And if you ever walk into the crazy room, here's the expectation. You're going to do something crazy. Because in the crazy room, no sanity rules. So if you know some crazy people and you decide to walk into the crazy room with them, you just have to be expecting the fact that everything that happens is going to be crazy. You make the same decisions on the outside of the crazy room. You make the godly decisions before you get involved in the craziness. You have to make a decision here, now, today, where you are, that this is how I'm going to live my life. So when the craziness starts to unfold around you, you've already made a choice as to how you're going to react. See, there's nothing that I can do and nothing that you can find in Scripture that's going to change your circumstances. All you can find is something that's going to change your character and the way that you react to situations. So any situation that comes along from people who don't know God, who have decided that they're going to be sovereign, who've chosen to isolate themselves away from God, this is going to end up being crazy. Every time. And that's why when you watch on TV, that's why when you hear things, you go, that's crazy. Where's the sanity in that? It's long gone. That's the cause of crazy. If you worship yourself as an American idol, you're nuts. Because it leads to isolation. You know, the worst place to be if you're worshiping yourself is with yourself all by yourself. Because who do you talk to? Yourself. Whose thoughts are you gathering? Your own. See, and your crazy thoughts keep fueling your crazy thoughts, and you were created for community. See, when you embrace your humanity and your creation, God creates you for community. If you decide, I'm a rock, I'm an island, I'm self-sufficient, I don't need anybody else, not only is that nuts, that's crazy. And that craziness is going to sink you every time. That's what happened in Nebuchadnezzar. And this is where you end up. The third thing I want you to see, and the last thing I want you to see, is you end up insanity. Insanity. See, your idol worship, your isolation leads to insanity. You'll begin to live and act like an animal. You're living a lower life than God wants you to be. God is no longer sovereign. See, if self-worship worked, our world wouldn't be a mess. You realize that, right? I mean, if worshiping yourself worked, the world wouldn't be a mess. But without a compass, without a rudder, without a guide place, we're destined to crash. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. In verse 33 of Daniel 4, it says this, immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from the people. He ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. That's crazy. But look at the next verse. Because God is good. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. And I praised the Most High, and I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. Remember the stump? See, this is why it was so important that the stump wasn't uprooted and taken out. This is why the stump wasn't grinded down. Because when Nebuchadnezzar came to his senses and he turned his eye toward heaven, the stump was still there and the roots still were deep. And because the roots were still there, the tree began to grow again. And God brought him back and it grew into a greater tree than it had ever been before. How do I know? Look at verse 36 and 37. At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out. I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. And now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven because everything he does is right and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride are to be humbled. See, Nebuchadnezzar got his second chance. Stump matters. The roots are there. The tree regrew. And so out of the insanity, he was restored to glory. You want to live a crazy life? Make yourself your own idol. Isolate yourself because you don't need anybody else and you know better. Here's what I can promise you. You'll be insane. That's the world that we live in. See, humility says, you're God and I'm not. That's good. Pride says, I'm God and you're not God, which you're telling God that. Hypocrisy says this, and we're all good at this. See, this is where church people struggle. Okay? Hypocrisy says, you're God, I'm God Junior. See, that's hypocrisy. That's crazy. Because God can't be God and you can't be God at the same time. Somebody's got to be God. And so followers of Jesus sometimes fall in that trap of hypocrisy because they think they speak, and when they speak, it's God. Anyone ever tell you they have a word from the Lord for you? I've heard that. And here's the deal. If that word from the Lord lines up with Scripture, it's probably a word from the Lord. But I've also had a word from the Lord from people that didn't line up with Scripture. I've had to look back at him and say, well, you know, I talked to God this morning too. He didn't tell me the same thing, so what are we going to do about that? Because there has to be an authority and there has to be a place to go to truth. And so when we humble ourselves before God, we will discover a life that is worth living. Remember, you don't have to hang from a tree to be a nut. Let me give you the now what. As you pray this week, two prayers. First prayer, God, 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 please don't let my ride be pride. In other words, ask God to be God and keep you from getting in the way. Second prayer, remember my place in the race. In other words, if you're remembering who God is, then you also remember that you do have a place in this race. And somewhere on that speedway of sanity, we are positioned to catch people at the crossroads of their craziness and share with them joy and hope and meaning and purpose that can reroute them and get them on that speedway of sanity. If we can do that, we stay away from the ride of pride, which always gets you in trouble. And it makes you nuts. Don't be nuts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are a people who very easily get caught up in the world of craziness that goes on around us. It's understandable. We tend to give each other a pass on it because we know how wacky the world can become. But Lord, here we are, this day, in this moment, and we get to come face to face with you, who you've created us to be, what you've called us to be, and know that there's a different way of living. For anyone here who's never made the decision to believe and trust and follow Jesus, they have positioned themselves to live a life that is less than what they were created to live. And that's crazy. And so, Lord, I would ask that you would just bring them to that moment where they would realize that if they would believe, that they would trust you, and they would make the decision to follow you, that they would accept your gift of salvation, then everything can change. If they're here in person this morning, I pray that they would take a worship flyer and check that spot that says, I want to accept Jesus as Savior. Put it in the giving kiosk on the way out the door. If they're watching online, live or later on, I pray that they would just stop the feed right now, send us an email, and just simply say, I want to accept Jesus as Savior. I want to be a follower. I want his forgiveness. I want the life that only he can live. I want to reclaim my humanity. And Lord, that would give us an opportunity to share with them, help them understand the decision they're making that would change the trajectory of their life forever. But God, there are others in this room this morning who we've made that decision. On the craziometer of life, we are always battling, trying to keep it in check. Help us to remember the three things that we talked about today. Help us to make sure that our ride is not the ride of pride. And then gently remind us that we have a place in the race and we can make a difference in the world around us. Help us to do so with intentionality. Help us to do so with direction. Help us to do so in a way that will change the lives of those that we meet for an eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.